Everybody, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching or listening in from. The big news in the past 24 hours, our friends or maybe your enemies over at Coinbase, depending upon how you look at it, but our friends over at Coinbase announced the intention of the exploration of looking into adding five new assets to Coinbase: Cardano, Basic Attention Token, Stellar Lumen, Zcash, and 0x. And there was a general freak out in the crypto industry or crypto Twitter, whatever you want to call it, about this. And there's a lot to unpack about the announcement, I think, at least a lot of interesting stuff that might help to better educate you in the future. Also, there was some information that came out from the government about the whole Russian hacking with the Democratic National Convention. And guess what? People are blaming Bitcoin. So we'll talk a little bit about that because I think it's absolutely hilarious, stupid, funny at the same time. So it literally blows my mind. We'll talk about a tweet from a congressman that literally tries to blame Bitcoin because people clicked on phishing links because they paid for servers. So yeah, you know, Satoshi, you should be very ashamed of yourself. You really need to step up to the plate and fix things. So we'll talk about all that and more. So hopping into today's discussion. So everything kicked off yesterday with a tweet from Coinbase that literally said, "Today we are announcing that we are exploring the addition of the following assets to Coinbase: Cardano, Basic Attention Token, Stellar Lumens, Zcash, and 0x. So five cryptocurrencies there. But it wasn't that we are adding these cryptocurrencies to Coinbase. It was literally that we are exploring the addition of the following cryptocurrencies. And Coinbase had a blog that went with that. So there's a couple notable things that they said. Number one, they are making this announcement internally at Coinbase and to the public at the same time to remain transparent with their customers about the support. So apparently they said, hey, we're doing this internally and to the public at the same point in time. They had the whole Bcash or Bitcoin Cash fiasco where it might have leaked internally. It looked like there was a ton of insider trading running up to it. And I'm sure Coinbase is trying to avoid that headache in the future. So looking at this, though, they said, hey, we're continuing the process of trying to support Ethereum Classic, which maybe you find is a big deal. Maybe you don't. But there's a couple different things that I thought were interesting here. So basically, they say we are going through the diligence process. We're exploring this, but we cannot guarantee that these, number one, will be listed for trading. Also, this might just be for buy and sell and not for the ability to send and receive from local wallets. So perhaps you might be able to buy and sell Cardano, but you might not actually be able to send that to a local wallet address if you want to or not. So similar to how some of the solutions like a Robinhood right now are working for some of the crypto assets that they leverage. And then also that they say, you know, there might be certain limitations when you're using this. For example, Zcash is optional privacy. In the case of potentially adding Zcash, you might not be able to use the private Zcash. You might not be able to use the Zcash privacy features. You might have to use the transparent addresses so that they can essentially track you and whether it's government reporting or whatever it might be, you might not be able to use certain privacy features there. So I think those are a couple different notable aspects here. But then lastly, they say, hey, going forward, you should expect this to happen on a similar basis. You should expect these types of announcements to happen on an ongoing basis in a very similar manner. There was some negative feedback overall to how this is being done. But I don't think, just even in my personal opinion, no matter what Coinbase does here, it's going to impact the prices, which we will look at in a second here on On-Chain FX. But no matter what Coinbase does, it's going to impact the prices if it comes to the price of a crypto asset, if it comes down to listing. So people are going to complain about it no matter what. I don't think this is the worst thing in the world. Is it the best strategy in the world? Maybe not, but it removes some of the, I guess, removes some of the potential for kind of insider speculation or insider trading internally or from people that might have close sources there. But it also does increase, I think, speculation of these assets because now people are thinking, okay, like these assets may get traded on Coinbase. So we're going to speculate as to which ones are most likely. And as we pop over to On-Chain FX here, so we'll pop over, you can see, I'll refresh the page. Take a look exactly at what's trading. So in the past 24 hours, this is by market cap here, but if we look the past 24 hour change versus USD, all of the top performers, four out of the six top performers are ones that are getting added to Coinbase or potentially getting added to Coinbase. So you have Basic Attention Token is up 25% against US dollar. 0x is up 16-15%. Zcash is up 10%, Stellar Lumens is up 8%, and Cardano is up 6%. So there's a couple of different things that you can kind of glean from that. Number one, I think a lot of people think that, at least in my mind, looking at this trading, people think that Cardano is the least likely to get added to Coinbase out of the, you know, out of the five that were mentioned. They look at Cardano and they say, there's been a number of criticisms against Cardano, but they look at Cardano and they say, this is going to be the least likely to get added to Coinbase. Now, alternatively speaking, if you have some type of either internal bias to Cardano or you really like it, and you think for whatever reason, hey, this is going to get added to Coinbase, this is still trading, at least in my mind, at a pretty large discount or a decent sized discount to Basic Attention Token, to 0x, to Zcash, that have, and even to Stellar Lumens, that people are deeming to have or trading to have a greater chance of getting onto Coinbase quicker than something like Cardano. But Basic Attention Token trading at the highest premium right now on the announcement, 0x was up pretty significantly. But a lot of these crypto assets, out of the 100 on on-chain FX, with pretty much not much moving, all fairly steady day in the market over the past 24 hours, we have the five crypto assets that are exploring, getting the exploration process from Coinbase, looking at pretty nice solid moves on the day. So if you had any of those, coming up with a strategy around that, I think is fairly important. Trying to figure out and trying to determine exactly what you want to do. My thought process, and I was kind of talking to a few different people about this, but I do think that there's obviously the initial spike. If we pop over here to Coinergy, we look at the chart. It was the massive initial spike on the 1 hour where the price went up, let's say about 20% for Basic Attention Token. Similar type moves for all the cryptocurrencies with different percentages, but there's the initial spike up, a small pullback or a decent sized pullback, and then I think people kind of buying into that momentum again. I do envision, in some respects, I do think that a lot of there's going to be continued speculation on what ends up getting added to Coinbase, and I do think that'll provide some momentum at least to these specific crypto assets, like Basic Attention Token, 0x, Zcash, Stellar, Cardano. I do think it'll provide some level of momentum for that, and then you might see a sell-off once there actually is definitive news on when this is getting added to Coinbase. This is kind of, obviously you would have preferred to have this prior to, if you did own these assets prior to, it's kind of buy the rumor, sell the news. If you had these assets prior to, this is still kind of a rumor. You know, there isn't necessarily definitive news. So I think we're going to still see some trading up into, trading up of these assets into the actual potential announcement exploration process. I have no idea how long that could take, but Coinbase usually seems to move pretty slow and deliberately when it comes to adding new assets. So I wouldn't expect anything to happen in like the next week or so. So that's just kind of my thought process on this. One thing I will say, and one thing I do think is pretty funny, is there are a lot of people that are freaking out about Ripple. So Ripple obviously is the number three largest crypto asset out there. We'll pull it up here. $17 billion market cap. Ripple is the third largest crypto asset out there. And a lot of people were, at some point in time, hoping, speculating, if you are a XRP holder, whatever it might be, hoping, speculating that you would see Ripple on Coinbase. I think that this move from Coinbase is indicative of regulatory concerns, at least in my mind, is indicative of regulatory concerns in regards to XRP potentially being a security. That's my takeaway. Some people are saying this is political. Some people are saying that, this is because Coinbase is scared of what Ripple will do to their business, and that, Coinbase has holdings in these other competing assets. I think that's a load of kind of conspiracy theory crap. I personally, and this is just my personal opinion, but I personally think that, if Coinbase has the opportunity to add the third largest cryptocurrency that has a pretty significant amount of volume, let's pull it up here, that has the ninth largest amount of 24-hour volume, they would like to do that. They make money on fees. They make money on, bringing new people to their platform. And if there is, if Ripple is a profitable, cryptocurrency to use that is compliant with, their expectations and the government, then I think that they would add that. And Ripple has already offered, I think it was the $100 million, you know, basically $100 million liquidity loan to get things started on the platform, and Coinbase turned that down previously. The fact that they're going out and potentially considering these other assets and not Ripple, I don't think is a great sign in terms of just like regulatory outlook for Ripple specifically. But again, that's my personal opinion and kind of thoughts on that matter. Doesn't necessarily mean anything about Ripple in the long term, but I think at least for me looking at that, I don't think it's a great sign when you look at Coinbase evaluating these other cryptocurrencies and determining, hey, we're actually going to even do more due diligence on Cardano and Stellar Lumens and Zcash, BAT and 0x, and we're going to leave Ripple off to the side, even though it's the third largest cryptocurrency, has a pretty significant amount of volume, and we probably make a lot of money on fees if we add that to our platform. But again, there's people speculating that, hey, this is because it's competitive to their business and some other things. And I've tried to argue and learn from some people about that, but I think it is kind of funny in general. Now, one other thing too that I ended up doing recently, it was actually last evening, but last evening made my first move into Tezos, XTZ. Had a buddy that participated in the ICO a while ago, and rather than register on a foreign exchange, was able to have an OTC transaction to acquire some Tezos. So I'm in the process of building a position in Tezos right now. Bought it at around the $2 mark. Kind of where I ended up entering into that position. My just thought process on this, and I'll, I guess, give you a little bit kind of behind my thought process here, is number one, I'm not a Tezos maximalist. I'm not an Ethereum maximalist, EOS, whatever it might be. But I'm looking at just an opportunity here, at least from an opportunity to potentially make more Bitcoin. And I do think that Tezos is interesting because, number one, it had a pretty wide distribution in the ICO. So there are a lot of people, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that exited their positions, but there are a lot of people that invested in the ICO, and they actually got pretty wide distribution in comparison to some of these other more recent ICOs with these platforms, where either it was closed off to the US or it was really difficult to acquire, or the entire pre-sale was filled out by, you know, four large crypto funds. For the most part, if you wanted to participate in the Tezos ICO, you're able to do so. So there was fairly wide distribution, which I think is a positive thing. Next, really only traded on gate.io, and there is pretty low volume on a 24-hour basis, which is maybe considered a good thing, but you can maybe consider a bad thing. But I do think that there is a pretty significant accessibility discount right now, where there are not many people, even if they want to acquire Tezos, maybe they don't want to go to gate.io. I didn't want to go to gate.io and have to do KYC through gate.io. Don't necessarily trust the exchange. HitBTC is kind of trading futures. I don't really trust HitBTC anyway. So I do think that there is an accessibility discount here. And when I do, I've said this before, but when I do look at the comparable platforms here, so I'll pull down to go back to on-chain FX again, go to the general purpose platforms. And when I do look at the comparable platforms here, you can see, you know, Ethereum, $43 billion, obviously. EOS has traded all the way up to $20 billion at a certain point in time. Cardano has traded over like $20 billion, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. NEO, there is, with Tezos, I mean, you can argue, and I've seen people, and I remember people in my comments the other day when I mentioned I was considering this move, saying, you know, how dare you consider this anywhere near NEO? NEO is all these ICOs that have run on the platform, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's cool. That's fine. But I'm looking at, I would say, like, a medium to long-term play of this. And I do think that right now I have no idea what's going to happen with the Tezos price. Zero idea, zero clue, no idea. But when I look at it, it's at just shy of a $1.2 billion valuation. It has never seen a bull market really yet where it's actively been trading. I mean, there's been futures, but the liquidity there has been like fairly low, but the actual XTZ real token has never seen a bull run. It's still in beta net right now. And I think when the next bull run, if the next bull run happens, it will potentially fall through, you know, it'll potentially go through one of those hype cycles. And I've talked about it before where people fall in love with these platform plays. People have fallen in love with EOS. Now they're kind of out of love with EOS. People fell in love with NEO, and now they're kind of out of love with NEO. People have fallen in love with Ontology. Maybe that's pulled back a little bit. Cardano, people fell in love with that. Now it's pulled back a little bit. I'm anticipating at some point in time people are going to just shit their pants about Tezos and go nuts about Tezos. So I made a decent sized move into it. It's probably one of my top four positions right now. And I'm going to see what happens with it. If it turns out great, if it doesn't turn out, I feel like I'm comfortable with that bet. With the, I feel like the, at least in my opinion, the risk reward of Tezos right now, the risk is very much worth the reward. I can easily, at least in my mind, I can see at some point in time, if we see a bull run, I can see Tezos being a $10 billion crypto asset project. Yes, are there a ton of issues? Was there a ton of, was the foundation stuff a total shit show? Yes, but will it pump? Can it pump? Probably. So that's a little bit into my dumb idiot thought process on why I made a move into Tezos around the $2 mark. Now, going to our good friends over at the government, which is always my favorite, always my favorite thing to talk about. Not really at all, but so there's a new indictment out. I read a lot of it. It was a report from the government in regards to 12 Russian officials that essentially hacked the Democratic National Convention and conspired to affect the 2016 election. I'm not political. I don't give a crap. I don't want to talk about politics whatsoever. But what I do care about is Bitcoin. When somebody goes after my man Bitcoin, I will defend it. And so in the indictment, essentially, they talk about these 12 Russian officials that used Bitcoin to acquire servers. To acquire servers and to pay for different technology and to transact on the Bitcoin network. And now there are politicians, specifically this guy, Rep. Emanuel Cleaver, who says, because you can see here from Betsy, this is a woman at, I guess, the Daily Beast, but said, in the indictment, they used Bitcoin to pay for servers. Yes. They also, we'll get to that in a second. But so Rep. Emanuel Cleaver says, I've been warning of the potential dangers of Bitcoin being used by nefarious actors. Impressive. Now we know Russia used cryptocurrency to fund their meddling campaign in 2016. The hashtag crypto industry needs to step their game up at blockchain, at BTC Foundation, at Digital Chamber. So yeah, man, the crypto industry really needs to step their, put their foot down. Satoshi Nakamoto needs, the CEO of Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto, needs to just, put his foot down and say, no meddling in the affairs of anybody else. Now, a couple different things that are funny on this is, number one, they used, the indictment literally says the use of Bitcoin allowed the conspirators to avoid direct relationships with traditional financial institutions, allowing them to evade greater scrutiny of their identities and source of funds. Yeah, that's literally the exact point of Bitcoin. But going to that point as well, Bitcoin is not a private ledger. It is open and transparent and will remain open and transparent, and also led to some of the some of the conspirators being found and being caught. So it is not something that, like, wow, this like private thing that like nobody can figure out, like eventually it got back to them. Yes, it took 2 years, but hey, it got back to them. And then they also, Nick Carter, at Nick_Carter, who is a great follow on Twitter if you don't follow him. But this was funny. He's joking around about this, but says the use of email allowed conspirators to exchange information without the usage of traditional postal institutions. It's like, yeah, we have our guy Rep. Emanuel Cleaver, who is saying that, Bitcoin is used by nefarious actors. Yeah, email was used by nefarious actors. Literally, the reason the hacking occurred was because people at the DNC clicked on links from at some like hi.mail.ru at yandex.com, and they clicked on links and got phished. It wasn't because Bitcoin had anything to do with it. Bitcoin didn't hack anybody. Bitcoin didn't hack the government. Bitcoin didn't affect the election. It was because somebody in a random office building somewhere or in their house was sitting on their personal computer and got a fake phishing link from Google that said, hey, you need to reset your password. And they're like, oh, geez, I need to reset my password. And that was exactly how it happened. So when it comes to the, Bitcoin hacked anything or Bitcoin FUD, always read into it. When I saw this, I started laughing, and then I read the indictment. And I was like, really? Like, you guys are attaching Bitcoin's name to it because these people paid for a server with Bitcoin? And there was one example where they literally said they transacted 0.02 Bitcoin. That was $9 or $10 at the time in 2016. That was in an indictment that they transacted 0.02, like 9 Bitcoin. It's incredible. So I thought that was really funny, and you always just have to like take into consideration the sources. And yeah, that's it. Anytime somebody tries to like throw Bitcoin out there and be like, blame it on Bitcoin, blame it on the fact that you had, you know, crappy personal security and you had people that clicked on phishing links. Like, maybe you should get a better, you know, education system on why you shouldn't click on links from shady Russian email addresses. Who knows? That's just my personal opinion. And guys, lastly, this episode, really do appreciate the time. This episode is brought to you by my friends over at Honeyminer. Talked about them before, but really good friends with the two guys that are behind Honeyminer. And if you are new to cryptocurrency or trying to figure out maybe how to generate a little bit of money in this sideways bear market, Honeyminer is really the easiest way to get started mining cryptocurrency. If you have a PC, if you have a gaming computer that's just sitting idle, not doing anything, you want to flip that on, start mining cryptocurrencies, Honeyminer, they're doing a ton of stuff to just make it better and improve over time. So if you have any feedback, definitely let me know or let the guys know. But I really dig what they're doing as far as making it super simple and easy to mine and to acquire cryptocurrency, to mine and acquire Bitcoin. And it's a great gateway drug to get into mining further and kind of figure it out and see what it's all about. So I would highly, highly recommend you give Honeyminer a shot. Awesome dudes that are continually trying to build out this platform to make it as easy and as usable as possible for somebody who's brand new to cryptocurrency mining. It's a fantastic way to get started. If you enjoyed this video, hit that thumbs up button, hit the like button. Would really, really appreciate that. And if by any chance you're new to the channel or to the podcast, hit the subscribe button and leave a rating and a review in iTunes. Thank you guys so much for your time. Crypto Bobby signing out. Have a good one. Peace.